Remember Cursed, the Wes Craven werewolf movie that featured a cast that included Christina Ricci, Jesse Eisenberg, and Joshua Jackson? While it's mostly known for dumb moments like this.
She's got a bony ass, and fat thighs, and bad skin.
Originally, the film had some potential, with an interesting take on identity. And unlike some other unmade horror movies we've covered on this show, this one was mostly made, only to go through intense reshoots that would almost entirely change the story as we knew it. From a villain reveal that you won't believe, to Skeet Ulrich being excised entirely. Join us as we look at what happened to the original version of Wes Craven's Cursed. I need to state right from the jump, nearly everything about this movie would have been better than the version that we have received. I'm not completely sure it would have been a flawless masterpiece of epic proportions or anything, but there's a lot of good within these 119 pages. I should also note that this is the second draft I'm discussing, because the OG first draft isn't available. There are some familiar beats, and if you want even more on the film that we ended up getting, be sure to check out my awfully good episode covering it. It's a fun one. What started as one film became something different after the Weinstein brothers demanded rewrites and reshoots. So just prior to filming being wrapped, they shut down and retooled the entire project. They excised characters, combined others, and shifted scenes around. But let's look at what this film was before those changes. The biggest change in the story is that Ellie and Jimmy are no longer brother and sister. They actually hardly interact in the script at all. And then there's the third lead, Vince. This was to be played by Skeet Ulrich, who refused to come back for reshoots, and his character completely cut. Which sucks because Vince is one of the more entertaining parts of the script. He's a bit of an LA douche, with his introduction set at a nightclub where he can't remember the name of a girl that he's hitting on. He's even a little drunk when the car accident occurs, adding even more layers to his douchery. And he even throws a wrench into the third act when he's unable to control his wolfy side and attacks the other leads. And just like that, they dropped him. And in doing so, dropped Robert Forster, who played Vince's rich dad. Just so many dumb decisions being made here. But let's start at the beginning. The opening scene is actually at a big pita party. We see a bit of this in the Finnish film, though its placement is more towards the middle. Here, it's our big opening kill, and there's a lot to like about it. A man in a werewolf costume talks to a cute girl about being a werewolf. She, of course, doesn't believe him, but plays along with what she thinks is a flirtatious game. The back and forth reminds me a little of the opening of Scream. I suppose not a massive surprise given its writer, Kevin Williamson. She gets annoyed with the man and leaves him. Oh, and this is where I should say, this role was originally played by Mandy Moore, though she'd be replaced by Maya when the film was actually reshot. This is where we get the parking lot scene, though there's no elevator follow-up. Instead, this is a brutal murder that takes place entirely around her car. The werewolf is set up as this strong, powerful, and violent being that does exactly what he says he's going to do. Despite not seeing him, he's immediately established as a massive threat, and the mystery of his identity looms largely over the rest of the film. It's a kill that would have stuck with viewers for the rest of the runtime, and that's exactly the kind of opening that you want. Not this.
Who's that I see walking in these woods? Why, it's Little Red Riding Hood!
The car accident itself makes a lot more sense as it's bringing together these three random characters in Ellie, Vince, and Jimmy. I should note too that there's no Shannon Elizabeth in the original scene, just our three future werewolves. Though I should say that Elizabeth's Becky does still have a role of being a star fucker who ends up being murdered at the pier. I guess it's better than the death that she ended up with. The original scene was over and done with pretty fast, but it does go on a little longer here with these three strangers getting acquainted with each other while being stalked and eventually attacked by a large beast. It makes the surrounding events make a lot more sense. Some girl wasn't just murdered in front of them, they were simply in an accident, then attacked by an animal. Wouldn't put you on high alert like a full-blown person being murdered in front of you may do. What's funny though is that even the news reports on this incident, and damn near everyone in LA knows about it for the rest of the script. Given that no one died, and as far as the police are concerned, it was just an accident followed by an animal attack where no one died, it's questionable why the news would be reporting it in the first place in anything except a throwaway line. Though, speaking of those news reports, they spring up throughout the movie, giving us a timeline for when the werewolf's victims are found. I'd argue it's mostly useless information, but the part would have been played by Nightmare on Elm Street's Heather Langenkamp, so it would have been charming to see her pop up, especially given the Craven connection. The Jimmy storyline mostly follows the same beats as the version that we saw in the film. He's into this girl Brooke, who doesn't really know of his existence, and her boyfriend Beau has some repressed homosexual urges. Though that element is a little fuzzier in the script, with Jimmy's pheromones being more to blame than Beau's repressed feelings. Though Jimmy does steal Beau's girlfriend still. The biggest change to his character is the fact that he has a sister and the excision of his dad, which is too bad because there was an interesting dynamic there with Jimmy standing up to his father for abusing him for years. But they just kind of combine that abuse in with the closeted bully subplot. Makes Jimmy's arc significantly less satisfying, especially since he's not even really interacting with Ellie and Vince until the third act. The mystery of the killer works well in the screenplay, but I do question how they would have been able to shoot it and maintain the same level of intrigue, especially once you know who the killer is. There aren't nearly as many red herrings as you may expect either, so the execution would have been tough to pull off. But hey, these are the makers of Scream after all, so I would trust them to do it in a smart way. Remember how dull and lifeless Ellie and Jake's relationship was in the film? Well, Jake isn't even in the script, and instead his name is Kyle, and they break up at the very beginning of the story. This puts Ellie in a much more interesting place in the film. She hooks up with Vince, and given their wolfy sides, it has quite the intensity to it. They take full advantage of the wolfy premise with both characters succumbing to their base instincts. The dialogue here is a bit all over the place and features some pretty cringy moments. While Williamson's screenplay for Scream is considered one of the best out there, he lost a bit of his steam by this point. There are awkward moments of trying to be clever or funny, but just come off as very writery. And some of the descriptions are honestly head-scratching. Pop! His dad smacks Jimmy in the back of the head. Nothing too abusive. Excuse me, nothing too abusive? What does that even mean? Oh, so just the normal amount of abuse then. Great. The primary theme of the Craven cut is personal identity. What makes a person who they are? Whether it's Jimmy and trying to find his confidence and voice, Ellie deciding whether or not she wants her devotion towards her job to entirely define her life, or the most obvious of Vince wanting to be his own person and not be pigeonholed by his family name. So it makes sense to use this in a werewolf story, with all the obvious changes that it would entail. Really forces these characters to reckon with themselves in a more immediate way. But this message is lost a bit in its final act. The ending of the film is another place where the film greatly differs, and I'm not so sure it's a big quality change. Both kind of suck. There's a pretty decent set piece on a limo with the werewolf causing all sorts of mayhem. It probably would have proved expensive to shoot, but it does a good job of further showing the werewolf as a massive threat. He's a tank in the movie and is absolutely not to be trifled with. But I do struggle to see how they could have shot it in a very convincing way. Then there's the big reveal of the werewolf. Like the film, Joni is the big bad behind it all, but the circumstances are a bit different, and boy are they knucking futs. See, it's first revealed that her client Scott Baio is a werewolf. Only, he hasn't made his first kill yet, so he's not a full wolf. He keeps attempting to, but can't go through with it, so Joni has to clean up his mess. Joni feels very similar to what Judy Greer would eventually give us in the movie, only she's not obsessed with Jake and instead just fed up with Baio not becoming the werewolf that she always envisioned him being. I've always hated the fact that the werewolf in Cursed is simply shot to death. That's lame and doesn't follow werewolf logic in any way. So I like that this at least has Ellie, Jimmy, and Vince banding together to take out Joni. Ellie using the silver sword to decapitate her takes from werewolf mythology and kills off the character in a definitive way. And I'll be honest, they even pay off the whole Scott Baio being upset about going on last storyline. Now, after the events, his career has seen an upturn and he's the number one guest for Craig Kilborn. It's dumb, yes, but hey, it's a payoff. I'll take it over whatever the hell they were trying to do with Joshua Jackson's Jake. So stupid. My biggest takeaway from the Kraven cut of Cursed is that it still likely would have sucked, but it would have been a more fun, coherent journey getting there. What we received was just a mishmash of ideas without any heart, passion, or soul behind any of it. The biggest loss was the character of Vince, who was easily the most intriguing of them all. It's also disappointing how much getting rid of him affected the Ellie character, as she's just a shell of herself in the finished film. Since the finale was never shot, we'll never see a full version of the Kraven cut, but I'd argue people are still interested in seeing those cut scenes. So hopefully we'll see them in some form or another, at least before we're all 6 feet deep.